Cross your fingers, everybody. It's got to work. Okay, the five domains. The first is your marketing message, which is who your ideal clients are, what their problem is, the ultimate outcome you produce for them, things like that. And we're going to be talking about ultimate outcomes, messages, etc., a lot today. The next one is all your marketing materials. So that's your website, articles, sales letters, emails, etc. So it's a transition from one to the other. As soon as you're pretty clear on your message, we're going to start you working on marketing materials. In fact, the homework is going to be working on your sales letter for your services. It's the very first assignment you're going to get. What I've decided, Nancy is going, yes, yes, or oh my God. I spent a lot of time in doing this over the years, but I created a 10-page letter of instructions on how to do this with a sample that is as detailed as you can possibly get. So sometimes it's taken people forever to do this. I'm giving more instructions so it'll be easier for you. Once you've transitioned from your message into the letter, that's sort of the whole spiel, the whole story about what you really do and what you offer in this particular service. Now, you might offer more than one service, but we're going to have you start with one main service. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit later, and you'll get the instructions. And next session, we'll be talking a lot about your homework and what you've done and fine-tuning that, et cetera, et cetera. The next piece of marketing is your marketing strategies and your marketing plans. That's doing various marketing activities such as networking, speaking, social media, email marketing, etc., to get the word out. So a lot of what people do in marketing is they don't have a great sales letter. They have a kind of an idea what they do. They know what they do when they do it. But if they were to explain it end to end, most people would be kind of floundering. It's hard to put it all in there. So when you have put the time and effort and focus into writing that sales letter, you start to become more articulate about what you do. You feel more confident about exactly what you're offering. And then, so when you get out there to market yourself, when a person is at a certain place, you show them the sales letter. Then you go into the selling conversation. Now, this is varied in many different ways, depending on who you are, what your service is. There's a lot of variation and permutations of that, but don't worry about that yet. Then the next part is the selling process. So when you've got someone that's pretty interested and they like what you have, but they're not sure, then it's the whole conversation of converting that person into a prospect, from a prospect into a paying client. And then the big overarching kind of purpose or the direction we're trying to go in this course is not just selling any service, but trying to sell a bigger service, a more involved service, a service that moves the needle, that makes a change, that results in a transformation with your client or with the company that you're working with. And I discovered this years ago. I don't know if I told you this story. Some may have heard it. This was years ago. I started my business in San Francisco. And it was in San Francisco. And I had the wonderful, brilliant belief that nobody could afford me. That's a great belief to have, right? So therefore, nobody could afford me. And so I charged very little. And I would only sell 3 sessions of my services. That's sort of the package I had. And in that session, I would work on your message. I'd do a few things. You know, it wasn't a lot, but it was all I felt people could afford. And then some people, thank God, said, Robert, this has really been useful. Can you work with me more? They forced me to do more. So I don't know if any of you have gone through anything like this. So I said, well, why not? I mean, the people that are working with me more, they're getting results. They're happy. I had a few clients like that. So overnight, well, I figured it out a little bit and rejiggered it and figured, okay, it's going to be a minimum of 10 sessions. And I think I made a rate for my fee a little bit, but it was 10 sessions. And I was in San Francisco doing a lot of speaking, a lot of networking. And so I was meeting people and I was talking to people. and I was converting people into clients. And so essentially, people came in, and instead of three sessions, I offered 10. And just the same percentage said yes for the 10 sessions as for the three sessions. And essentially, I tripled my income overnight. That's the power of selling something bigger. And we all have our various limits. I've had clients that have sold for a certain fee, and they were selling high-end executive coaching. And I said, I don't think your fees are high enough. In fact, I think they should be doubled. And with a little conversation and working through the issues of, oh my God, I'm going to charge that much, they doubled their fees and they got no pushback from their clients. And this will often happen if you're selling to a higher end client. You know, often what you think is high, they think is low. So sometimes it's increasing your fee. Usually it's increasing the scope of your work. It's offering more value. It's making more of a promise. All of those kind of things that we'll be discussing in depth. A lot of that will be one-on-one to figure out what that package is, what you can sell it for. Now, sometimes, you know, if it's a new client, they won't buy the whole shebang, the whole thing, but they'll start with the first part of the whole shebang. And so many of my clients have discovered that you can say, we offer a turnkey system to help you do X, or a complete solution that will get you to this place. And you have to feel and be confident that if they do a certain kind of work with you over a period of time, that you feel highly confident that you will produce those results. I mean, I give big promises, but I put everything into it so that those promises are delivered. So I couldn't do that at the beginning of this when I first did my marketing mastery program. You know, and recently I interviewed, or I talked to a lot of people that had been in the mastery program before. I don't know who, was anybody on that teleclass? Put your hand up. That was a month or two ago. Anyway, most people had doubled their income. One person had gone five times their income. That was the person who had doubled their price, in fact. And another guy in Germany, he had quintupled his income. And I went, holy friggin' cow. I had no idea that they'd produce such great results. And so doubling their income was like, oh, that was so long ago. That was so 2009, whatever. I mean, they've gone so way beyond that. So it's possible. And it's all about being able to expand your comfort zone about that, and also finding the strategies, the techniques, the communication, all of that, so that you really are worth that and you can charge that and you will get clients like that. Now, it's kind of like from, you look at it from, I've already won, it's this big thing I have to offer, instead of, I'll start here and struggle and just get one client at a time. And, you know, I went through that for so many years, I can't tell you. And when I shifted this, you know, my income doubled, then it tripled again. I had many years where I made $300,000 and $400,000 a year. And this is just a one-person business, no assistants, doing all the web work myself. I'm not saying you should be able to do that. But I discovered that, you know, I could make a heck of a lot more than I thought and deliver incredible value for my clients. So that's what it's about, and that's what you can do. So whatever level you are, there's another level. There's getting more clients, getting better clients, et cetera. Okay, so that's the third domain, is creating your – the second is creating those packages. The third is promoting yourself, and the fourth is selling. And then the middle one in the model of five things is your marketing mindset. And for many, the marketing mindset is the most important thing in your marketing. Because I've taught a lot of people the bells and whistles of marketing and what to do and how to do it and created websites and whatever. I have one client I'm working with independently right now, and he got into my marketing club and did a couple courses and took off with a lot of stuff, and he wrote three books. I think he's working on his fourth book. But it didn't translate into getting new clients. And the reason it did, his mindset was still small. I mean, he did the activities, but he was thinking small and kind of fearful, and I can't do this. And so we're breaking him out of that shell so he can act. And he's getting a lot of speaking engagements. He's incredibly well positioned to take some of the people that have been at speaking engagements and turn them into clients. But he's sort of passive and waits for people to discover him. So there are all kinds of mindsets, and you know some of them. Let's just go through this. Sarah Jane, what's your most debilitating mindset? And you got to unclick.
I'm worthless.
I'm worthless. Okay. That's sort of the universal stuck mindset. It's the big one that's underneath everything else. Okay. So how about Roberta Ryan? You got to click. Unmute.
Unmute, okay. I have a pattern where I'm never quite ready. I'm always working on getting ready before I put things out.
Yeah.
So that's my mindset is I'm just not quite ready yet.
Yeah. I call that over-preparer's disease.
Yes, that's what I have.
Yeah.
Symptom. It's a symptom, yeah. So that's...
Yeah. It's fine to prepare a lot as long as you don't put it off. I mean,
that's what I do. That's my mindset. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. And look, you might want to jot some of these down. They might be yours as well. Okay. Sharon Querrington, unmute.
My biggest problem is the fear of making the wrong choice.
I have the fear of making the wrong choice. So it comes across as I'm going to make the wrong choice. I'm just going to, you know. And that
I get absolutely paralyzed.
Yeah, that's being risk adverse, right?
Yeah.
And you know, who knows where that came from? We're not getting into that now. But see, mindsets like this are like a pall over us. You know, who we are is able, capable, intelligent, magnificent, powerful. That's who we are. We don't have to work to get there. I'll be talking a lot about this stuff. We actually don't need to work to get there. You're already magnificent, powerful, intelligent. People are going, no, I have to get there. No, you don't. You have to. What you need to do is see what's in the way and let that dissolve. Work on those things. And then you're fine. Does anyone have kids or grandkids? I have a little granddaughter, and she's only 3 years old. So a three-year-old is ultimately creative and energetic and has fun. And then every once in a while, something triggers her, and she has a crying fit, right? But then she stops, and it's over, and she's back to just playing. It's sort of like a thunderstorm. So it's sort of like we have all this stuff that's going on, and we have ideas, and we're creating these things, and then it triggers something and a thunderstorm comes up. And it's dark and gray and cloudy and we feel hopeless and we think it's going to be permanent. Right, Sharon? And it's just, oh, God. But ultimately it clears. So we're going to give you a lot of tools. And some of you already have some of these tools. But we're going to give some tools and work through those, especially at points that you've got to take a leap. Like one that I see all the time is, I just can't finish. I've got this article and it's never good enough. So that's the mindset of perfectionism. Anyone have that one? I'm going to see the other panel. Anyone else? Put up your hand, Nancy and everybody. Perfectionism. Perfectionism is really big in for independent professionals. It's really a big one. You know, we got away from the corporation or the business because, you know, these guys just don't care. And it's, you know, it's not a passion for them. And we had a passion and we started our business. And so we want to do it great. And yet it becomes an obstacle at the same time. So that's what happens. Anyone else want to share their big obstacle? Carol, you're somebody who's a therapist and a hypnotherapist and helps people. But even you have mindsets, right?
Of course, right? Everybody does. And I completely agree with the not good enough. I mean, with my clients, that is the number one limiting mindset or limiting belief. And so for me, I think, oh, I'm good. You know, I think I'm good enough. But the thing that I do that I have to stop myself from doing is I will research, oh, who else is doing the thing that I want to do? Like, who else is running a program like I'm planning on doing? And then I read their bio. And that's a bad thing, because then I read, oh, they have this education, they have this experience, they've done this, 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 this. Have I done those things? So then you get into that comparing. That is very triggering for me. So I have to stop doing that.
I know that one.
Yes.
I don't want to look at other people's marketing materials.
No.
It's like, I got to compare myself to me. I got to compare myself to how I did last month versus this month.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get past that, however, it can be good, because you can actually be inspired and empowered. And sometimes best not to. It can really help. But it's like, I've noticed professional jealousy about certain people that really is poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
Bad stuff. So what's yours, Sarah Taylor? On mute. Yeah.
Sorry. So I totally relate to what you were saying about the perfectionism. I create materials. I'm always evaluating. I look at whatever last month, last week, yesterday.
I hear you too.
I'm
well.
Always making it better, which I think.
It's okay.
I don't know. Is that any better?
It's all about making it better. It's all about being perfect.
Yeah.
So, you know, so your computer sound isn't working too good. So your mindset would say, oh, this is so bad. And, you know, oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we can have 50 things right. And out of those, well, whatever, 99. And if the 100th one isn't right, we pay more attention, beat ourselves up more for that thing than the 99 that are right, you know, to some degree. How about you, Leanne? You came in a little late, so we didn't get an introduction from you. So, hi, Leanne. What's your marketing mindset that holds you back?
I think that...
You're in your car?
I am, but I'm not driving.
Better not be.
No, I just came from another meeting. So the thing that holds me back is I don't know what to do. And I was going to say that, you know, Robert and I spoke on Tuesday, and one of the biggest things that was really helpful, because I had a speaking presentation yesterday morning, was I'm not trying to get them to buy anything. I'm just trying to see whether they're interested in exploring working together to generate attention. And that is like a huge shift. That's really helpful.
Right. Yeah, we introduce ourselves to somebody and use our perfectly crafted audio logo that took us forever to learn. And we want that person to go, oh my God, you do that? That's amazing. I've been looking for that all my life. Oh my God. Look, I want to work with you, and I have a spare $50,000 hanging around. Is that enough? I don't know. Does anybody have that kind of thought in their back of their mind? If only they just accept me. So, and that doesn't happen. It's like, oh, I'm a failure. Instead of, oh, they're slightly interested. That's good. That's a start, right? So we've got all these things that are operating on us. What's your Sarah Jane?
What's my what?
Your primary marketing mindset that tends to hold you back.
I think I said to you worthlessness.
Sorry, I apologize. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and related to that, I can relate to what this other woman just said. Because of that, I never know what to do.
Yeah, which is just a story you made up. It's not true. One of the things to this is a conversation I'll have with everybody. It's like, I just don't know what to do. You know, I talk to people in 5 minutes, they know what to do. Why? Because we sort of realize that it's ideas that we have identified with, you know, and that becomes who we are. It's kind of like this. Here I am, available, open, intelligent, and then this thing gloms onto my face. And that's the marketing, negative marketing mindset. But when we can't see it, everyone else sees it. You know, I'm not upset. I'm not worthless. But it's acting on us anyway. Udo, can you relate to this? Do you have a marketing mindset that holds you back sometimes?
Yeah, to a marketing mindset, I would say it's finding the right target niche, right people for my product.
So
deciding, I would say deciding on the right people to find for the product. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's something that you have to do. See, there's things that you got to do. I got to find the right people, but there can be a mindset thing hold you back. For instance, the mindset could be, I'll never find the right people.
Yes, that one, of course. Then I'm changing direction and searching for another idea, project, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the emotional thing. It's the voice in the back of the head that's telling us that we can't do it. Now, on some things, and some things in your life, perhaps you're a good cook. And every time you go to the kitchen, you're great at looking into the refrigerator, figuring something out, and creatively doing a good meal every single time. I mean, it's not an issue. Whereas some people go, I don't know what to make. It's not going to go. My husband will, all this stuff, you know. We got the same ingredients. We got the same kitchen. But we've got this stuff going on. The thing about worthlessness, I think, is important because often we start with a simpler belief. Like, I'm not sure what to do. And then we ask, well, what's belief that, under that belief? Well, I do know what to do, but if I do it, it just might not work. Then what's underneath that? Well, I can never things make them work, and blah, 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 until you go deeper, oh, I'm just worthless. I can never make anything work. And this is not conscious. It's working in the subconscious. Right, Carol? She probably knows more about that than most people on the call. It's just working on us all the time, but in our subconscious, invisibly. So I'm not going to give you any exercises on this right now, but just to be aware that you have unlimited possibility and you will get stuck and we'll work through it. And part of the online system will help you with that, sharing what you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so we're going to move on from that. So thank you, Udo. And you can mute yourself. Let's see, how are we doing time-wise? We're doing good. So what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about, you know, in doing the marketing exercise, I've looked at some of them, not all of them. When I meet all of you the first time, I'll look it over, read it over carefully. We'll talk about it in more detail. But when you're working on your message, what were some of your struggles, or what were some of your thoughts, or what are some of your questions? Just anything about your marketing message. And it's useful to see that other people go through the same stuff. Nancy?
I struggle with what could be an exceptional outcome that I can offer. What are my clients going to care about? I'm in marketing research, so my job is to understand what customers think, but I haven't done that with my clients, so I don't know.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in some cases, we need to be a product of the product, in many cases. You know, for instance, if you're an this is a really gross one, or a obvious one. If I'm a paper management expert and organizational expert, and I clean, get people's houses and systems all great, and I go back to my house and it's a total, absolute, unmitigated disaster, won't that hurt you? It's sort of a hidden, dark part of it. It's like, you know, I don't want to work on myself, you know, blah, blah, blah. I get by. But it would work against your self-esteem. It would work against your professionalism. And somehow, it's sort of, I'm going to carry I'm not good enough, which is a cousin to I'm worthlessness. I'm going to carry that around but hide it. I'll do all these great things, but somehow I'm not walking the talk. Somewhere way back when in my business, I decided to take on my most important client. Do you know who that was?
Yourself.
It was me. And I said, I'm going to be my own best client. And I'm my favorite client. Sorry, guys. You're my next favorite clients. But I'm my favorite client. It's like I plan for myself. I create projects. I work on my website. I'm working on my marketing all the time. I have fun with it. And in all my work on my marketing, it helps me help other people because I've done all these things very successfully. It's not just book learning, despite the fact that I've read a heck of a lot of books about marketing. So back to Nancy. Nancy, so you might want to think, what do I need to do to be a product of my product related to doing some research on my clients?
Yeah, it just occurred to me I could include in my next newsletter, I could have it be a little brief survey. I could ask them the question, what is the most important thing that you look for when you're selecting a focus group moderator? You know, I could ask them, what are some highlights? Have people share somewhere. I'm not sure where, but I could figure that out. Where could we have people start a conversation about that I could learn from?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I know what I think is exceptional about my what I deliver, but yeah. I don't really know if that's important to them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes intuitively, you know, you just do know. It's mm-hmm. And you're right on track anyway. But then you've got to find a way, well, how do I express that? See, this is often the area where we have the most difficulty. Well, here is what I do. Here's basically the result I help you produce, which is the ultimate outcome. Often people talk mostly about process, not about outcomes or results. And when we ask, well, what makes you really unique? What makes you stand out? Most people just draw a blank because mm-hmm. they're looking out there to everybody, but they're not doing self-reflection. Yeah. You know, do people like me? Do they react well to me? Just look. I mean, you deal with people. You know if people react well to you. Mm-hmm. When I do a certain thing in my business, do I get particularly praise for that particular thing? Mm-hmm. Do I get certain ahas about certain things I do that maybe other things don't do in a certain way? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's important to one company might be slightly different than another company. Mm-hmm. And since every client is different, but I know that people really want a powerful message. That's a thing everybody wants because I know people are so confused about it. I know they also want good marketing materials. They don't want crap. I know they want to find ways to get out there and connect and get response. And they know they want to be able to convert prospects through selling that doesn't feel manipulative or sleazy. Mm-hmm. We always put these terrible words on selling. And I also know that people get stuck. So, you know, I've had enough experience that, you know, that I know I can help people with those things. And sometimes I emphasize things. And I'm wondering, is that just something that I'm sort of into as a hobby right now? Or are people really interested in that? And sometimes I discover, oh, you're interested in that. I never even really thought about that. Mm-hmm. So trying to find out, well, what is something that I offer? Now, it's a little harder in what I'd call well, it's not totally a commodity business. You know, commodity business, I sell nuts and bolts. The other guy sells nuts and bolts. They're all exactly the same quality. They meet government standards.
Right.
So there's three things in uniqueness: quality, service, and price. And they say you can only offer two. Cannot offer all three. It's impossible. So for most independent professionals, it's quality and service.
Yeah.
If it's price, you're commoditized. So then you ask, but what aspects of quality and what aspects of service? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes in certain things I do price. The marketing club is very low. I want a lot of people in it. It's not about, I can't do one-on-one coaching with people, et cetera. So it's a different kind of thing. It's more commoditized. But it's worked for me. I've gotten thousands of people in the club over the years. So for you, what is that aspect? And for everybody, what is that aspect of quality? And what is that aspect of service that's different? For instance, Sharon does some things in, you'll hear about it as we go, she does certain things with horses to help leaders understand their leadership style and where they hold back. And she showed me this video that blew my mind when we were talking about her joining the program. And yet it's such an interesting, different thing, and it can create, it can look trivial. Oh, that's just getting out and playing with horses, right, Sharon? And that's the last thing you want. You have them, you should go, oh my God, that's the best thing ever. And how to introduce that and talk about that is can be challenging. So you got to find what are those things and how to talk about those things. And sometimes you have to try a lot of different things. But when I meet with you next, one of the things I'm going to ask in working your message is I'm going to ask, well, what makes you unique? We know what you do. We know your basic stuff. But what makes you unique? Because that's the thing that has people go, that's interesting. And it's hard to do.
Yeah.
It is hard to do. Well, it's not that hard. It's not impossible. Some people say, well, I've been working on my marketing message for the last 10 years. Come on, let's get it nailed down and just use something. Or they work on a marketing message. This is my favorite. They work on a marketing message. They attend classes. They read books on it. They write it down. And then I talk to them and say, well, that sounds pretty good. What kind of reaction do you have to it? Oh, I'm not using it yet because it's not perfect. How would you know? It's sort of like I've been practicing hockey in my head for 10 years, but I don't know how to skate yet because I've never gotten out on the ice. Right? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get you out on the ice and talking to people and testing things and, you can test in, you don't have to test it in the most high risk situation. So, you know, it's getting out there and trying this. What makes me unique? And so you might say to people that you know, I think what makes me unique is this. What do you think? And they'll say, no, that isn't it at all. We know what you do. What makes you unique is X, something else. And you go, oh, I thought everybody had that. And then they say, no, you do it better than anybody. So other people will know because we have this blindness. So it's something to for you to explore and test out and get feedback and have conversations. I got to tell you this story because it's one of my best stories, and I stole it from someone else who was my client, but I just love it. This was a person who it was a man who was in the job search, and my client worked with this person and helped him create his message for what he did. So in the job search, the same thing. Here's what I do. Here's why I'm unique. Here's why I'm valuable, etc. And so he'd practiced it out loud and blah, blah, blah. And then he came down one morning and said to his wife, I want to practice my message to you. And he said, this is what I do, blah, 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 blah. And his wife said, wow, I've been married to you for 20 years. And this is the first time I've really understood what you did. So that's how bad we are at communicating our message. And so with some coaching, it's like the wife understood. But then, that wasn't the punchline, then she said, and guess what? I have a lead for you. Because that, it was like, wow, she got it. Of course, she wants to help her husband get a job. And he connected with that lead, and that was his next job. So you never know. So we're mostly communicating incompetently about our business in all kinds of ways. And that's in our materials, in our proposals, anything that we do in our written materials, our websites, etc. So that's the first part of this, powerfully communicating. And then people get it. I'll tell you another story related to that. Years and years ago, I've been doing this kind of stuff since the beginning. I had small groups in my living room on Haight Street in San Francisco back in the late 80s. And we had a group, and we were talking about similar kinds of things. And one person was a massage therapist. And I can't remember why I pulled this up, but I said, here's a really good ad. It was an ad for a massage therapist. And it said, the words were great. It was just compelling. It was like, oh, my God, that sounds fantastic. And I read it to the group. And one person said, can you give me that ad? I think I'd like to call that person. And the other person over here is the massage therapist. She said, do you get it? Your communication is not as good as a little ad to persuade that person. And it was like a big aha for her. And she improved her message dramatically after that. So just the written word can be extremely powerful, and will be, wow, that's what I want. Okay, so let me see. So let's talk to other people about this, and we're going to do this for pretty much the rest of the thing. So questions you have, issues you have, just talking about your marketing message, any aspect of your marketing message. Who would like to go next? And thank you so much, Nancy. Nancy's such an active listener. She's looking at me. She's smiling. She nods her head.
That's what I do for a living.
Yeah, she's good at it. Notice that. That's a good, it's a really good kind of being place to be when you're in the marketing process. Not like, you have to look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and see how you're coming across. Okay, who else would like to go?
I'd like to go.
Yeah.
And I also have a question. When we have a question, how do we ask the question? Do I have my hand raised or?
You can just unmute and butt in.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. If I'm talking away and you want to butt in, just as if it was a live group. The only reason we mute it is because of the background noise.
Okay.
That we inevitably have. So.
Okay. So a challenge that I had that I still have is that I have either two overlapping related services because I have two different target audiences. And so I gave you one elevator pitch. The other elevator pitch, which is not even a pitch, is I specialize in coaching abrasive leaders. Yeah. And so I always wonder whether I should be somehow combining those two things or keeping them separate.
That's a good question. It's better to keep them separate. See, you should think of a marketing message or an audio logo. An audio logo is what you say when someone asks what you do. And you say, I specialize in working with abrasive leaders, abrasive executives, right?
Yeah.
So, but later on in the conversation, the other one might come up as sort of an expansion of that.
And not the reverse.
Well, it could be either way. But someone's microphone is on. Who is that? Okay, so where was I? So working with abrasive leaders is kind of more interesting. See, it's a kind of a hook. And some, just because for whatever reason, some things are more than a hook than others. They're kind of interesting. And you told me when I use that, I get people's attention. So why not use that? What was the other one?
Political frustration.
Yeah. See, that could be in the conversation about other things. So the conversation could go something like this. I'm going to sort of speed it up. What do you do? I work with, say it again, yours, actually, the abrasive leader.
I specialize. In coaching abrasive leaders.
Coaching abrasive leaders. So there's a, you got, it's a really tightly packed one. You do that, and also coaching, you help them. And they're abrasive in their leaders. So four keywords. So that's interesting. And they might say, oh, I know what you mean. And they might say something like, well, how do you help them? And they say, well, you know, a lot of leaders just are abrasive. And they don't realize it. They're not bad people necessarily, but they've got some bad habits, and they maybe their ego gets in the way, and as a result of that, productivity suffers with their teams. Have you seen that? Do you know any abrasive leaders? Oh man, let me tell you, blah blah blah. And then so is that essentially what you do? Yeah. And you know, sometimes, you know, I work with people that are going through a lot of stuff or leaders that are going through a lot of stuff. But abrasive leaders is one. Another one is people that are really frustrated by all office politics. It's a very different kind of issue, but it's a big one. And almost everybody I discovered is discouraged by office politics. How do you rise above it? How do you work through it? How do you do all of that? That's an issue as well. So you can bring it up as a secondary thing.
Okay.
So, but here's what not to do. I specialize in coaching abrasive leaders. And I also did da da da. Now you've split their attention. That doesn't work.
Right, I know that.
Yeah. And something that rambles on doesn't work. So the way to do an audio logo is to say something with a hook, and then it gets a question. So I might say, I work with self-employed people who get stuck in their marketing. Well, what do you mean by stuck? And then I could tell a story or something like that. But I don't say, and what I do is I do marketing plans and strategies and help them this, and I blah, blah, blah. That's what people do. Because we feel that when we say something abrupt and clear and simple like that, then where does your head go when you do that? What are you concerned about after you deliver a message like that? What do I say next? What the hell do I say next? Yes? No?
Yeah.
So what do you say next? Because I know this is an issue for everybody. So I've said my thing. After practice, I find the one that gets the best response. So what do you do next? What do you say next? Someone else tell me.
I have a question with that one.
Sure.
With that one. Am I unmuted?
Yeah.
Because mine rambles, and what I notice with people is they don't ask any questions. You know, it's like there's no response usually. So I know that what I say doesn't work. I just don't know what else to say.
Yeah, so we'll work on your message. So it's sort of like I'm rambling to find something that hopefully will get a hook and they'll finally
see. Well, I just think I should give them the whole picture, I think. I think I overgive.
Yeah. So you want to get attention like a headline on a billboard.
Right. I want it to, yes.
And it comes, and sometimes it's good that it's mysterious. It's like it begs an audio logo that begs a question. See what Sarah Jane did is it's kind of intriguing. You get it, but then you kind of want to know more, right?
Right.
It tells the whole story in four words, you know. So yours might be, I work with business owners who are ridiculously frustrated.
Oh, that is good. But so I don't worry about the fact that they're found their passion or that they're service businesses or anything like that. Just start with that they really are ridiculously frustrated. That's actually very true.
Sometimes I pick it up intuitively and I get a good one. Sometimes I don't, but okay.
Yeah.
You could run with that. So I work with business owners who are ridiculously frustrated. So if I say that, then someone has to ask a question because they don't know exactly what you're talking about, but it's kind of interested. What are they frustrated about? So it might be they're frustrated that they're not getting the business results that they want. Oh, tell me that. And then you might say, you know, the conversation could go from that. But you've engaged somebody. You know, there's the guy that I met 30 years ago, very, very beginning of my business. I was running a networking group way back then. This was in 1988 or something, 89. And I met Joe, and I met him at the door when he was coming in. I said, "What do you do, Joe?" And he said, Well, he first of all, he labeled himself, but that was okay because I didn't know what it was, so I had to ask a question. He said, I'm an outplacement consultant. He said, I don't know what that is, and he explained it to me. But then he explained his difference, and the difference became the thing that built his business into a $1 million business. It was the center point of his business. He says, all the other outplacement consultants use a psychological model to help them get a new job. In today's market, I think that's nonsense. So we use a marketing model. Now, he explained it in more depth, but that we use a marketing model, everyone else uses a psychological model, is what got him appointments and got clients. And every time he went in, he sold the job. Because he says, here's why we're different. This is what it means to you. People will get out in the street faster. They'll start marketing themselves. They'll position themselves better. They'll know how to price themselves effectively. Having a whole bunch of psychological tests and saying, hey, you know, it's okay and you can get out there is worthless. That was the model that everyone was using. He changed it. The whole industry has changed because of him in San Francisco. End up selling his business for a lot of money and moving to Portland, Oregon and doing something else. So anyway, so it's like, gee, is there some way, something in my model or some, but that's another kind of way to do it. But just try that. I work with people who are incredible, or small business owners who are incredibly frustrated. And then,
yeah, ridiculously frustrated.
And script it out a little bit. No, if they respond to that, or what is that? You're not muted, Sarah. I'm going to mute you. So, who's that now? Okay, who else has a question or something that they want to discuss about their message?
So I have a question. So basically what you're saying is you want your audio logo and to lead to a question that who you're talking to is going to naturally say, well, how do you do that? Or, wow, that's interesting. Tell me more. That's what you're going for.
Yeah. But if you say, I'm a hypnotherapist that works with people to have better lives.
That's blah, blah, blah.
Fine. But it's not a hook.
Right.
So what if you said something like this? What do you do? Oh, I put people to sleep.
Can't do that because that feeds the misconception.
Yes. Okay.
But see, I mean, when you, in your article, when you were talking about the cow versus the alligator message,
yeah,
I completely related to it because my very first marketing message that I came up with was basically something like, I help people with their personal and professional problems. I mean, it's so boring. And the thing is, the struggle between, you know, the thing that what I specialize in different modalities, and I specialize in different issues. I specialize in a lot of different things and what to pick, how to narrow it down, how to combine it. That's where I, you know, try to oversimplify it by just calling them problems or listing out a few, but then it's a laundry list.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're trying to relate to everyone, so you relate to no one.
Well, you can integrate your laundry list in the conversation afterwards, but we're talking about something that could just get their attention immediately.
Sorry, I'm jumping in. The thing ahead. That's the image that's coming to mind is getting their monkeys off their back.
Ah, that's
yeah,
pretty
that's
good.
Impossible. What do you do? I help take monkeys off of people's backs. if you can get away with humor.
There's a classic Harvard Business article, Get the Monkey Off My Back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a book on that about the time monkey and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Yeah, nothing's brand new anymore, but they're not going to sue her if she starts using that. Don't worry about that. But yeah, and you know, what is the monkey on your back? So it could be a lot of different things. But for you, Carol, it might be people are stuck in issues that they've had for years and years and they can't get past them. that might be the monkey on the back. Mm-hmm. What kind of issues? Well, let me tell you. So one of the things that this is very hard. It's hard is to try to stay away too much from process, because people are interested in the problems and the solutions, not so much how you do it. And they're interested in themselves. So you're talking about their kinds of issues, and then you can relate to that instead of you doing all the talking.
Right.
So these are all things you can start to test. Mm-hmm. Okay, who else has a question or something they're working with?
My problem isn't so much, everybody's interested in the horses and leadership part, but it just never leads to business. It leads to lots of really interesting conversations, but not to clients.
And perhaps the reason for that is people just can't see. See, horses and stuff is about a process that you do. It's not about a result that you produce. Now, at a certain point, you got to talk about the horses, but that is not the thing. And you don't really necessarily have that thing stick in people's minds.
That's the problem is, no matter how much I slow it down, if I just talk about the leadership development, at some point the horse thing comes up, and then we're off on that tangent. And it's really hard to ignore the part that makes it unique. But as soon as I pull it in, then it's no longer a business conversation. It's an, oh, isn't that interesting conversation?
Yeah. So when we first met and you showed me the video and stuff, you talked to me about the incredible power of this and what it did. So what does working with horses do that no other kind of leadership work seems to do?
It actually lets people see their own mindsets, because the same mindset that is at play at work shows up with the horses, and they'll say, oh my God, yes, that's what is slowing me down at work. Yes, I have a tendency for nice control, or yes, I have a tendency to hesitate. Whatever it is, it shows up physically when they're working with the horse, and then we can make the link to their other mindset.
Okay, so we're not going to talk anything about that. You're going to try something different when you introduce yourself.
Okay.
So we work with leaders who have blind spots about their leadership. And I'm not saying this is the right one for sure. So blind spots about their leadership or their leadership mindset, maybe. We work with leaders that have a blind spot. That doesn't work too well. Let's just say we work with leaders who have blind spots that hold them back.
The challenge is I'm actually working with a full senior leadership team most of the time.
Okay, we work with, well, that's good because that's credible. So you say we work with top leadership teams whose mindsets are holding them back. So what do you mean by that? Well, you say a little thing about mindsets. Like everybody in the world has a mindset about certain things, and mindsets are what hold people back. It could be a mindset like, give an example. It could be, these are really some of the most common ones. It's that we have to grow fast, or we can't go this, or we have to do that. There's a lot of have-tos and shoulds and all of that kind of stuff. So I work with them to see those blind spots and those mindsets around those blind spots so that they work with those mindsets. You have to work up the language between mindsets and blind spots, but how to get past those mindsets. That's when big breakthroughs happen in my work. We have a way to show them what those mindsets are that they have a blind spot about and have breakthroughs in that. And what happens in the team as a result of that is X.
Okay.
What about, if I could break in for a second.
Let me just finish one thing. So here's the thing that's hard, Sharon. You got to hide the horses in the first conversation. It's sort of you think, okay, what I'm really about, although your process is and you love the horse thing and it does the result and it produces it, it doesn't work to talk about it first because it gets it's just interesting. And you want to be impactful about a result and then et cetera. And then later on, you know, one of the components of our program that has breakthroughs in your mindsets is we use this incredibly powerful process. So wait.
It's for like it. A crescendo.
It's like a crescendo. It's sort of the thing you, and now see, they're sort of sold on through examples and stories, but you don't talk about how they use the horses, but examples and stories about how the mindset shifted. That's interesting. What the results, and then ultimately you find a way. Now we'll be working really in depth about this whole, how to structure these conversations, because you know that's it's the most important thing gets in the way of your marketing, and that is that's just the way it is. You got to deal with it. Anyway, you have an idea, Carol? I want to share something.
Yeah. So, like you said earlier, you know, people have these mindsets and they don't even realize how limiting they are, or that it's affecting them. So, what if she added something to, you know, work with the leadership that has, you know, limiting mindset of whatever words, and they don't even know it. Adding, don't even know it, because then you would think, well, how would you know? How do I know if I have that? You know, it kind of suggests you might not even know it, because that's the truth.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just a thought.
For sure. You know, there's a lot of things we can say, but it's sort of like, we let the punchline slip before the joke is over, you know, and if the punchline is the horse is some, and the punchline is not even in the first conversation, it's later on where we're more into the selling process. So, but that isn't the total solution, Sharon. You know, there's subtlety to it and we'll figure out ways to do it. And in your sales letter, will you even mention horses? Maybe you should, that's sort of your secret, that you only talk to people that are ready to go there. It's sort of like in a science fiction movie, you know, there's something out there and everyone's talking around it, but nobody quite knows what it is. And so it keeps you interested. How is it going to be revealed? How will they know? You can tell I'm a bit into science fiction, but so someone else?
Yeah. So Sharon, I also, in addition to doing what I do, I teach yoga, and I'll tell you what, like you say about it showing up right away, somebody comes into your yoga class, you can see characteristics right away. Right. So, I think part of the attraction is, what's the alternative? Oh, well, we did a 360 process, or, you know, we did a week long retreat twice the year or whatever. Whereas what you've got is really fast. And to my mind, that's a huge selling point.
Yeah. See, at a certain point, you do a presentation about that blows them out of the water, but it's not the first conversation you want to have. So, but again, it's probably impossible to completely hide it. So we're going to figure a way to do that. I know it's impossible.
But then they're big.
Well, yes, but it's not like you bring a horse to you to a networking meeting. So, you know, whatever. We'll figure it out. Okay. So let me give you your homework. And let me just show you this. Okay. I have to open up in the background. Just give me a second, because when I crash, the whole computer crashes. There it is. Okay. Okay. So this is your program page. So you've all looked at this, but to review quickly, here's all the dates so you don't forget. Here's where you link for the Zoom video. You all accomplished that. Here is the Action Support System login. And we have one step to go to making it active. So as soon as that's ready, this is how you get into it. You log in and it'll be clear the questions that you'll ask. You answer the questions, you click post and it posts them. And here's my request once this gets started. I request that you post something 4 to 5 times a week. And what you're posting is based on really simple questions. You know, what were your goals for last week? What did you do or not do? A few simple things like that. You don't have to be a writer or do anything poetic or anything like that. Just say, here's where I am right now. It's a reporting system. It might take a while to get going with this. And then you also look at a couple of people that have already reported and then comment on their report. And you say, wow, I know that's really an issue for me. I always get stuck in that too, blah, blah, blah. So you don't have to respond to all 9 people. If you did to that 9 times 9, we'd have 81 posts every week that you had to read. That would drive people crazy. So just 1 or 2 that you know, every day you go in and just post. So you'll see, it'll be pretty clear. If not, we'll work with you together on it. We're doing our one-on-one session, so you're absolutely clear what to do. Don't go there now. I'll tell you when it's ready to go. They have to set up a billing thing for it. So once that's done, we're ready to go. Okay, so there's the overview. And what we do is we post 2 sessions because we have 2 meetings a month. And so the first session is here's what we'll do. And then here's some course materials. And actually, I'll post the recording, both the video and the audio, and it will be posted right under here. You just click it, and you can listen to it, or you can download it. And then you can download this thing that crashed my system. It won't crash yours. It's just a PDF, the 5 domains of marketing. And then the assignment is download these directions for developing an HEOB program, high-end outcome-based program. So we use HEOB for short. And writing an HEOB letter. You'll download this after session 1, which is now. Read immediately and get started. Here's the most important thing. Oh, the session is coming up on Thursday. I'll look at my homework on Wednesday before the session. You won't succeed in the program with that. But I'm not saying you have to spend 10 hours on it right away, but you can download the instructions, take a few minutes to read them, then look at your calendar and say, okay, I want to put a few hours into this week. When can I put those hours? Put it on your calendar and start working on it. You might not complete the whole thing by this time next week, depending on how busy you are, and some people will be able to. And then there's a sample HEOB letter, and I'm going to, should I click on that? I'm so paranoid of the thing crashing, so I don't need to click on that. But that is a web page that gives a sample, and there's stage directions in it of what to do and how to do it, and it's really comprehensive, and it makes it simple. You just start with 1 piece at a time, and then the next piece, and then the next piece, and it won't be perfect. It will be the best you can, and then we'll look at it, and we'll move it around and fine-tune it, and before long, you'll have a good description of your services, which will be one of the most important tools you'll ever have in your business. Okay, any questions about that before we wrap up?
I have a couple of technical questions. One is about how to put our picture in that. We're supposed to upload our picture. And one is about how to download the homework so that I can send it to you in a Word document. Couldn't figure out how to download it.
Well, these things are... Let me go back to the page.
On the top of my page, it will say enable editing. And when I click that, it converts the document into a Word document.
Oh.
And then I'm able to save it.
Okay.
So that's what my computer looks like. And I figured that out. I had the same problem that you did.
Thank you.
So I'm not sure what document that was for, but this document and instructions is a Word document already.
It was the pre-homework from the other page that we had some prep homework for today.
Yes. Yeah, and I'll be going over that with you. Well, these were all.
I had to do is click on the link and it downloaded.
These are all Word docs. They're not PDFs. So.
Oh, so because at the bottom it says save this as a Word document and email it to Robert.
Oh, what I meant is, you get it with a certain name. I want you to save it as with your name on it. See, I get all these documents that are just, XYZ exercise, and I don't know who it came from or what it is, and sometimes people don't put their name on the top, and 10 people sent them in. I have no idea where it came from. It's really confusing. So you always want to put it put your name, your last name, and then underscore, and then the name of the document.
Okay.
Just, if you don't do it, I'll point it out until you get it. You just have to remember. So you just do a save as. Or you have it in the Finder and you can change it that way, whatever way you do it.
Okay.
And I save them and I put them in a folder online and I have all of them. So, and that's the Fast Track program, which has everything. Let's see, back to this quickly. So this is actually on a web page. You don't have to download this. You could print it out if you want. You'd print that out, but you don't have to have it as a saved document. It'll always be there. This is a Word document, and okay. If you get stuck and have a little question about something technically, just send me an email, and I'll respond and do the best to help you. I try to make it simple, but I have a complex mind, and so sometimes things can get more complex than I like. I'm trying to keep it simple. Okay. So let me just stop this and manage the participants. I'm going to unmute everybody. Okay, so I can hear everybody. So thank you for attending the first session. It worked after those first introductions. We lost our introductions, but that's not too important. Everything else we got, and that's what's important. So you'll be able to review this if you need to. And, of course, if you miss a session, tell me if you're going to miss a session so I'm not wondering where you are. Tell me ahead by email. I can't do it in, only emergencies or pre-planned things or vacations. If someone wants to meet with you that day, try to put them on a different day unless it's impossible. Really, really make it important to come to these. This is how we get a community. Well, we have a community starting. We're getting to know people and how they think, and a lot is going to happen in this community in terms of interaction as we go. So. I'm happy. I hope you're happy too. And we'll see you all on your individual appointments and in 2 weeks. Okay, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.